Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Sam and Greg on a Saturday morning. We'll be here for another hour, getting you ready for college football, a full day of college football. We'll be back tomorrow morning from 6 a.m. until 9, getting you ready for a full day of NFL action. That When It's Love for Van Halen from OU812 throughout the morning, yeah. Been playing. And I want to thank Jahi. For throwing all this Van Halen on. Everybody knows how I feel about Eddie Van Halen. The band, though, themselves. Jay, you got a picture of me with Eddie. Up, got it from, yeah, when they were picture. Here.
Yeah.
Sent it to him, and he was like, is that Eddie? Couldn't you tell I'm wearing bike pants?
I had to put that up there.
It was right after.
I'm like, yikes.
It was right after a sound check for the first time they came through for this particular album, and he wasn't supposed to be drinking, but as you can see in the picture, he's got a cold one resting
to him. A little something there.
This is when these guys took it to that next level. We talked about what he did musically with the power drill and other things that made him a guitar god, if you will, in the minds of a lot of people, musicians especially. But when Desert Storm, was it Desert Storm? Was that the attack, what it was called? The night we started, the scuds were all over CNN.
Yeah.
Was it Desert Storm?
Yeah,
was that invasion?
Yeah, but Bernard Shaw was under the bed, yeah.
Exactly. When we heard later on that those pilots that were flying those missions, I don't know whether they had it on when they were, because I don't know if you can play it while you're actually in the cockpit or when they were around on the ground prepping, but Van Halen was the band of choice for those pilots, and they made sure that the band knew about that, and then they used the Blue Angels in Eagles Fly, Eagles Dare, something like that, one of their songs later on. But the Air Force had a massive connection with this band, and vice versa, and how they say that Van Halen music got them through. So again, just paying a little tribute to Eddie throughout the show. Sam, where do we start talking about the NFL, or at least our team, and what we've seen so far? Where do you start,
man? Either one. You talk about the team or talk about the league, because it's all about the positive or negative test and who's playing and who's not playing. And that cloud is still hanging out there.
Yeah, it is.
It was out there last week, and still there. The Tennessee Titans just can't get it right.
What I heard
this – figure out that some of those players – go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what I heard this week connected to that game, for the first time you had other players getting real upset at the Titans, at another team. Not for the usual football stuff. Was because if this game were canceled, you're getting into people's pockets now, because the Bills wouldn't have gotten paid. And there's only so many games in the course of a season anyway. And we know that football contracts, as opposed to the other sports, they're not guaranteed money. Yeah, you get a signing bonus if you're a top player. But a lot of guys, they're relying on them checks. And for it to come out that it's Tennessee's fault for the predicament that they find themselves in, that upset a lot of players. And they were voicing that publicly this past week. And again, that's the first time I heard that. And the one thing you will always get with NFL players when they're talking about just make it through a particular season and the hurdles that are in front of them, they always come back to, don't mess with my check. Don't mess with my money. Don't mess with that because we don't have baseball and basketball guaranteed contracts.
And even when you think about what they've had to go through, just to get to this point of playing games this year. And, you know, that's true what you said for any season when it comes to NFL players. But for all that they've gone through just to get here, the way the camp happened, not the usual preparation to play, you know, no preseason games, or, you know, and the different things they have to do with nobody coming near them when they're in their facilities. And now to have this happen, yeah, there's some people that are pretty upset about that, that they may lose paychecks if they can't make these games up. So, and overall, the word has been sent out. Everybody tighten up, you know, because you know, everybody feels fine and whatnot. And you still want to go out and live your usual life the way you normally do. Be cognizant. And that's what they're really like after, guys, about it, really driving that point home again.
Listen, we know that they're going to do what they want to do. Earlier in the show, we were talking about guys trying to make it back now that they're out of the bubble as quick as they can and get some, you know, some lemon pepper wings. They're going to go out and act like they're in their 20s. What you need is that presence in the locker room. And of all people to know that, it would be Mike Vrabel. I always have a hard time saying his last name, so I want to say Vrabel because of the V there. But it should be him. He should know that. And there's got to be a leader on that team to police what's going on, especially now when there's possibilities of, as you said, checks are going to be missed if these games aren't played. How many times are you going to be able to move a game back to Tuesday or Wednesday and then get ready for a Sunday game or a Monday night game? Again, like I said, how I started this off. How do you address this? How do you try to make somebody understand what is going on with this league, and is it really all necessary? We have a window of weeks that we can push things back instead of trying to jam them in at the beginning of weeks and risk the possibility of somebody being hurt or not being able to prepare for the next game, which is what we've talked about with college. You know, these teams that talked about starting in the spring. Well, then you're going to turn around and try and have a fall season if the virus is contained by next year. Well, then you talk about a whole bunch of injuries, especially guys who've gotten concussions and things like that. Well, the same thing would happen in the NFL, correct? And the recuperation period is now shorter. Do you want that?
That's the thing you wonder. That's the thing you wonder. You know, and they're setting things up. As it is this week, you got two Monday night games and you got a Tuesday night game coming up this week. And, you know, the league is trying to say, hey, you know, we still have these primetime games on Thursday we want to play. And by the way, we want everybody to be ready to go for your regular Sunday games. And that's important because of the players usually rotation of having their days off to recoup and recover to go back on the field. And that's hits home big with our team here in Atlanta because we're like a walking MASH unit. I mean, we've got so many guys out. You know, it was tough to watch Monday night because you figure, okay, we got a secondary that already, you know, is having its problems. And now you're getting guys hurt. And Monte KZ goes off. We lost him for the season.
Yep.
That's a big loss for the Falcons. That guy plays lights out in the secondary. And so, you know, you're going to get Terrell back. He's coming back off the protocol, off the list for COVID. And he's going to return to the team. But he's a rookie. He's still learning. And so that's going to be the difficulty going into this game tomorrow against the Carolina Panthers. I mean, they look kind of helpless at times against Aaron Rodgers, and rightfully so. I mean, he's a future Hall of Famer. He looked like he had time to mix drinks back there one time. He was sitting back there. Looked like he was doing martinis, pina coladas, whatever you
man,
want.
Man, I told you, that's scary. This could be a scary season for the fans of those other teams in the NFC North because this dude – It's scary if he's comfortable with this, with LaFleur and the system that's taken a year or so to be implemented. He's got a chip on his shoulder. He got some teammates. He got another running back who's wanting to prove he should be one of the top running backs in this league. This is going to be a team to be reckoned with. Everybody was giving the MVP to Russell Wilson, and he still might be holding on to it right now, the beginning of the season, these first four games. But Aaron Rodgers is, again, cutting through the line, reminding people who he is. And so that situation up in Green Bay, again, for somebody who grew up watching the Bears, again, you talk about a team who's doing it all with like a Jedi mind trick. There's no way in the world these boys should be – It should have the record they have. No way.
Bears are 4-1.
4-1.
They had Tom Brady barking at his teammates and losing count and how many downs.
See, now we saw what would happen once a team got a chance to see updated film on Nick Foles. Okay, he comes in, he beats the Falcons or brings them back to beat the Falcons. Next game, there's only 3 points they scored. So they figured him out. Now, what happened in this Tampa Bay game is, again, people starting to get comfortable. Nick Foles, again, I'm not sure I trust him for 16 games, but he's better than the alternative. But that game the other night with Tampa Bay, you're right. That was a head scratcher. It just really was. And I don't understand. And again, listen, he's still working through things. But by the way, where's Gronk? I mean, he had some catches there, but where's that dominant presence that was supposed to be there?
No, he got a couple. He got a couple of balls. He wasn't being dominant. But I mean, it's, how many games in is it for a guy who's been out of the game, period? He came back, obviously, to play again with Brady. But like I told you when he came back, he's going to get hit. It's not the New England Patriots line that's keeping him fresh and clean that he had for all these years. He's getting hit, and it's going to happen some more. So, they're still going to be a good team. They still can possibly make – playoffs, but all this talk before the season began about them in Super Bowl, get over it, man. I didn't see it then, and I really didn't see it Thursday night.
Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Ray Gleer. Ray is with Ball Atlanta, and he has got some thoughts on not just the Bulldogs and Tennessee, that matchup, but some other things we're going to talk to. Get you ready also for a full day of college football. But getting back to what we were talking about with the Falcons, And these games being jammed in, depending on the team, if they've got a bunch of positive tests and all that. But when you talk about preparing for the next game after, especially in a short week, we got the skill position players on the offense, all of them are dinged up. I mean, we got Gurley. Yeah, he's proven that he's a little bit, we shouldn't worry that much about him, but he's still not Todd Gurley from a couple of years ago. And then you talk about Calvin Ridley and Julio, and those two guys are nicked up, and we don't need short weeks with this. I'm just talking about this particular team. We don't need short weeks. And it seems like whatever is happening with the NFL, with these positive tests, they are just a locomotive heading downhill, and they ain't about to try to stop the train. They're just going to move things around, pull pieces out here and pull them there. But between 1 to 10, how confident are you that this season is going to finish?
They're going to plow through it, and that's the way it looks to me. And it may get ugly at times. And hopefully we don't have any more things happening like it's happening with the Tennessee Titans. I mean, because that's the worst case scenario is to have when you think you got everybody, accounted for. Well, here's another one. Oh, here's another one. So I mean, that's the worst that you want. If you got an individual one or two, that's a different type thing. Seems like the thing with Cam Newton was kind of isolated. We had one other with the Patriots, but not as many as with Tennessee. So you hope everybody just, respects the protocols there and the things that are placed before them and realize that the games can't be played without them, but they got to, abide by the guidelines.
And in case you didn't hear this, as we head on out, the NFL officials have been authorized to penalize teams for unsportsmanlike conduct if a coach or someone else on the sideline approaches them without wearing a face mask. That's now a penalty. I don't know if you heard that this past week. You can't come up and give it to a ref. Unless you got your face mask on.
Yeah, yeah.
Whew. May you live in interesting times. We are going to welcome, again, I want to say his name right, Ray Gleer from Ball Atlanta. He is going to join us next. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app. Telling each other we're the one. We would make love at the drop of a. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Check us out on the radio.com app. It is Sam and Greg here till top of the hour. Going to turn things over to college football game time. Got I think John Frick in today filling in for Goforth. We got Randy Mack and John Chuckery. We're going to be back on tomorrow morning from 6 until 9. And, of course, there you are, more Van Halen music on the heels of losing Eddie Van Halen this past week. That's right now from the For a Lawful Carnal Knowledge album. Mr. Crenshaw.
Yep.
We got a guy on here you know, so I'm going to give you the honors of introducing Mr. Glear.
We can do that. We can do that. Because a lot of people are focusing their attention on what's happening in Athens today. And the guy already has his eye on Georgia, and especially the quarterback position. Ray Glear joins us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Ray, good morning to you.
Morning, Ray.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Greg. Good morning.
Morning, morning.
Great to have you here. First of all, we hadn't talked with you in a little bit. First of all, how things with you, if you and family been during this time of COVID-19, and hope you guys have been staying safe and well. How have you been?
Yes, we've been safe and well. Not as much in person, no in-person contact with athletes, which is pretty bad, and coaches. But all in all, we're safe. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Georgia off to the start, and Stetson Bennett seemed to like solidify himself as a starting quarterback last week with that win over Auburn. Are you surprised by this?
Yeah, considering that Kirby did everything he could to find another quarterback, the height, weight, speed matrix does not call for a 5'11 guy that, you know, runs around like Baker Mayfield. So he went after the prototypes and the guys that had been around. He brought in three different guys, and all of a sudden, here comes Stet Bennett.
Well, no, I was going to ask you, Ray. Sorry about that, Sam. Ray, I was going to ask you your thoughts on Kirby's job so far this year, given what he had to do to prep and where they sit right now, and what the outlook appears to be.
Incredibly focused. I mean, look at how this defense is playing. And, you know, they got these guys in shape. There was no detours. The offensive line wobbled, but then it got it together. You know, think about it. They lost four offensive line starters, and here they are, you know, bulldozing over Auburn. I expect, you know, they'll handle Tennessee. But this is the stuff Alabama was made of. Plug and play. You lose people, you put them back in. That's why, you know, NFL scouts, they call Alabama the 33rd NFL franchise. Well, Georgia's starting to show up as maybe 34 or 35, wherever you put Clemson in there. But none of this would have happened with Bennett if he had decided to go to Louisiana Lafayette. And he almost did.
This is Ray Glear from Ball Atlanta joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Ray, a second ago, you sort of glossed over this Tennessee matchup as if you didn't think that Georgia, or at least it came across like you didn't think Georgia was going to have much of a problem with this team. Yet the conversation with people that we've had on our show leading up to the season and now that we're in it, talk about a Tennessee team that seems to start reminding folks of Tennessee teams from the past that this may not be an easy win for them.
I've worked in Knoxville for 6 years. I was a sports editor up there. I know what Tennessee teams of the past had, and, you know, they don't have a Reggie Cobb or a Webb and those kinds of people. They certainly don't have a Reggie White. Not many people do, but, you know, they're still building under Pruitt. He's still, you know, finding pieces, and Georgia is ahead of them on talent. He's had, you know, a two-year head start of gathering players. And Georgia just has much better talent on defense. And they're coming in, they're on the road, not quite the same as being on the road in the SEC. They do have an experienced quarterback. But I just think Georgia's you know, has a level of talent above Tennessee.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning. He's done it all, folks. Writing here, he was editor in Knoxville, author as well. Fourth and Goal every day. Ray Glear joins us now on the waitfor.com hotline. Ray, the piece that you wrote about Georgia was a dog set at QB and offensive line after beating Auburn. You talk more about Stetson Bennett and the fact that you felt like you talked with his junior college coach and he was going to steer him away from returning to Georgia. Talk a little bit about that conversation.
Yeah, in the third quarter of the Arkansas game, Steve Buckley at Jones College called me and we were talking about Bennett, and I said, Steve, what made the kid think that Kirby was going to give him a shot to play at Georgia? You know, he was near to going to Louisiana Lafayette. And Steve said, Ray, I told him he should not go to Georgia. I told him, I did not tell him he couldn't play there. I just told him there was a better opportunity at Louisiana Lafayette. And he said the kid just has red and black in his veins, and he was going back to Georgia. And that's what happened. And Buckley, you know, he looks at the kid, and he says he can make every throw, and he's fast. And, you know, I talked to NFL scouts about Bennett, and they said, you know, they're guilty of it. They all overlook instincts, and this kid has instincts. He doesn't have prototype size, but he has instincts, and he's accurate with the ball. I still think he forces it a little too much, and I think Kirby said that's a product of being on the scout team, and he needs to get away from that.
Man, that sounds a whole lot about, as we describe, heart and how to measure that. We've had those discussions about kids. Ray Glear again from Ball Atlanta joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. All right, we've talked about the positive things and the decisions that have been made about this Georgia Bulldogs program, but what are some of the things that you need to kind of keep a skunk eye out for? You know, whether it be to injury or you think that this is a part of, you know, one side of the ball or the other that really needs to be addressed as they move forward, preparing for the Alabamas and the Florida matchups, games like that.
When they get a chance to be explosive, when they get Kiaris or Pickens behind the defense, they got to convert on that. They leave plays out there. They've done it a couple times, and when they go up against Alabama, they got to make those plays. They got to convert the 60-yard touchdown, the 70-yard touchdown play. They got to do that. And it's just a matter of getting the timing down on the deep ball and finding people. But you saw the possibilities when they hammered the ball and then they play action at corner. You know, they can get by that guy. You know, they bring that safety up two steps and they can send somebody down the left sideline. They got to hit those plays.
Well, Ray, if I'm hearing you correctly, those plays, while they're important, how do you feel about when they get to the red zone?
Well, they can, you know, when you got a defense like that and, you know, if you got to kick a field goal, kick a field goal. I mean, your defense is, you know, maybe Alabama's going to be a different animal as far as scoring points, but they still have three tight ends that are top-notch, and, you know, they still haven't gotten the transfer McKitty out there. They have three tight ends to use in the red zone. We haven't seen it yet. They're going to be a really good team scoring close. I saw it against, Auburn. with using the tight end to score. So they can play.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Ray Gleer, Ball Atlanta. We're going to get to him, talk about Ball Atlanta in the newsletter and how you can keep up with what he's writing for you each and every week. But, Ray, I got to ask you, these are two Kirby Smart assistants, two Nick Saban assistants facing each other today. And Nick Saban will be facing another one of his assistants later today at Ole Miss. The league, the conference is made up of these guys. When is one of them going to beat him, and can Kirby be the one that's going to finally beat this guy? Because to me, he sucks all the air out of the room of being a coach, of fun of being coach in the Southeastern Conference, because somebody in your booster club is always going to ask you when you're going to beat Alabama.
Well, he's 20-0 against his guys, and Phil Savage, who works for the Jets, he and I wrote a book, Fourth and Goal Every Day, and that's what it's like at Tuscaloosa. It's fourth and goal every day. And your team better have that mindset. And what has happened with Nick is, one, he had a head start on all these guys. You know, they've come along. He's been there going on 14 years now. They've been around four or five, three and four. And he's got a head start on them. But you have to be devoted to the system. You cannot detour. Some guys that coach for him, they get outside what they learned at Alabama, how to mimic the whole system. And you have to be devoted to it. And I think Kirby is the one that has shown the most devotion to that system of height, weight, speed, intangibles, and then the national recruiting. You know, Kirby has gone out and found players. I mean, he spent $3.7 million in 2019 on recruiting to get up with Alabama's skill level. So they can play with them now. We'll see if they can beat them.
Ray, explain people how people can get to read your work, Ball Atlanta, that newsletter. Explain people how people can check you out.
You can Google Ball Atlanta Substack. That's the publisher, and it's Substack, and Ball Atlanta, and you'll see it. It's a nice little logo with baseball, football, basketball.
So. Hey, Ray, before we let you go here, we understand you got some thoughts about the Braves as they head into the League Championship Series.
Yeah, the one advantage, Greg, that I thought that it might be even with the Dodgers was the bullpen, but now with Kenley Jansen having all sorts of trouble as the closer lately, I think the Braves have an edge there going into the 7th, 8th, 9th. I think it was Bobby Cox had told me that you set up everything from the closer down. You work backwards. When you get your 9th inning guy settled, you work backwards, 8, 7, 6. And the Dodgers now, they don't know if it's going to be Jansen or Kelly, and how and what happens in the 8th inning and the 7th inning. What do you do with Jansen? The Braves are set up. They got their momentum and their guys lined up. And, you know, the fact Jansen has lost velocity on his cutter, he's not the same dominant guy he was in 2017 and 18. So the Braves got a shot there. They have an edge now in the bullpen.
Fantastic, fantastic. Ray, we thank you for spending some time with us this morning. By the way, you can follow Ray also on Twitter, at Ray Gleer, all capital letters. Ray, thanks so much for spending some time
with
us
this morning.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Sam. Thank you. Bye.
Yeah. Well, listen, the one thing he did, just a quick tip on what he said with the Braves is we have the edge in that we got nothing to lose. We are supposed to be there. The Dodgers are going for the golden sombrero if they lose. Yeah. So they're going to have the tight, you know what I'm saying, as opposed to the Braves. They're going to just play loose. And one of the things that also that Ray had talked about was the money that Kirby has spent on recruiting. He better get a chip soon because Georgia has outspent everybody. I saw the breakdown in the paper. The amount of money he has spent for this program, just hanging around at the top ain't going to be enough. They got to get a chip. So, anyway, we're going to get you set for a full day of college football up next. Then we turn things over to College Football Game Day. John Fricke, Randy McMichael, and John Chuckery. After that, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. From their 10th album, Balance, it's Can't Stop Loving You, Van Halen on the Dark Side 96 Rock. Check out Katie Kiley, who's going to be at Timothy John's later on. Willard will be from 9 until midnight.
Timothy John's. And
Jimmy Max. And, of course, Christopher Rude will be at Pep Boys this weekend, giving out tickets to see Def Leppard on Monster Jam when they come to Lakewood Amphitheater.
That was
an actual break I did. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and Sam and Greg. Throughout the morning, Van Halen music, and this is my way of getting through just the loss. Listen, every week Sam and I come on and we talk about people who have touched us and losses that have happened throughout this pandemic, and whether it's Lou Brock with you and some other folks locally and nationally, and Gail Sayers and now Eddie, and for various reasons.
Yeah.
So we'll be on again tomorrow. Normally we are here 6 a.m. until 9 on Sunday mornings, but some movement had to take place today. We got a full day of college football. Thomas Mott, who normally occupies this spot, will be on after college football game time, which is next. John Fricke, Randy McMichael, and John Chuckery.
Yeah.
So we have got a full day of college football action, but I want a couple quick shout-outs because we're not normally here on Saturdays. They got us piped in over to Barbershop, man.
What's going on?
Mr. Booker and Maurice. Yes, we should have Maurice on here. We're talking about the trials and tribulations. Yeah, with the Falcons. But they're on over there. And
well, I know Mr. Booker ain't doing much better because he's a Cowboys man. So he's having his own struggles right now.
Yeah, but he had fun the day after the Cowboys and that debacle with the Falcons.
The onside kick.
Pandemic may be going on, but the barbershop never stops. I was in, like I said, it was in there. Your name came up, but people were fussing back and forth between the chairs. It was a wonderful time. So shout out to the barbershop. And also, we talked a little racing earlier. The Martin boys, James and Jacob, they're doing some traveling to Tri-Cities, Tennessee. I never even been there before. Never heard of
it.
Tri-Cities, Tennessee for some MX racing at how do you pronounce M-U-T-T-Y? Muddy?
I don't know.
Muddy
Creek. Yeah, that's the name of the track?
That's the name of the track.
Okay, good luck up there.
They're fans of the show. Love when we talk racing.
Safe travels.
Martin Boys and Big Phil behind the wheel.
Bring back some hardware.
Yeah, really. Remember we used to do that when folks go to Tennessee? You also tell them to bring back some fireworks, but that ain't the case anymore.
No, that's on every exit now.
Yeah.
You don't have to get to exits to get it now.
Man, y'all going to Tennessee? Bring me back some M-80s. Going to Alabama? Bring me back some of this. Bring me something. Yeah. This is the dude, by the way, who does the fireworks display around here. We used to for years. Yeah, Phil.
Okay.
He put on a good one. All right, man, listen, as we get ready for a day of college football, we talked about the Bulldogs a minute ago. You talked about some of the bigger games or bigger programs playing this afternoon. Let's go as well as Ray said, like Bobby Cox's bullpen, let's work backwards, back to front, and talk about a game that's going to happen tonight, which I'm actually looking forward to. That's at Miami-Clemson game.
Yep, and we're going to find out what Miami's really made of. I mean, they've gotten off to a good start. They've looked impressive. In years past, this would have been a great matchup, but you know Clemson is so deep. And whenever it looks like another team in the ACC wants to show, well, hey, we're going to challenge these guys. Seem like they kind of slide it up a notch. That's just the way it seems to me. And I expect them to do the same thing in this one. But that's the game. It's a primetime game. It's a 7:30 start tonight. We see what Trevor Lawrence will do against the Miami team. And they're playing this one up at Death Valley, so they got them where they want them, when they want them. Nighttime up there should be a lot of fun. Don't know how many people they're going to let in that place. Obviously, they won't fill it up the way they always like to do for big games. But it should be a great atmosphere up there. You ever been to a game? You ever been to a game at Clemson before, have you?
I have not.
It is an experience. And, I mean, they got some different ways to get into the place, because back in the day, it was like one way in and one way out. It was an experience just going to the game, because it took you all day to get in the joint and took you all day to get out. You got some back roads and some other ways to get in and out of that now. But it's something to see. Of course, the most exciting 25 seconds in sports, they call the entrance of the team when they touch the rock and run down the hill and the flag unfurls and the balloons go up and the fireworks go. It's pandemonium. And that's just to start the game.
What's happened in the past when they can't got a coach that can't run down that hill?
They
beat them down there?
They always had a coach that can come down the hill, man. That's part of it.
They've never had a coach that didn't run down that hill.
Yeah, well, I don't, you know what? The man who had the rock, I don't think he did much running. Frank Howard, back when he was a coach there. I don't think that was, you know, but the rock represented him. So that's something that took place that came on during the Danny Ford era. Mm-hmm. During that time, and Ford, when he coached there, was about the age of Dabo Swinney. He was a youthful coach, and so it was something that he looked forward to do, and you know, the people enjoyed it, and it was something they became renowned for. So that's happening today.
You got after that Alabama. But I was going to tell you, though, I thought of you this week. There was an interview that Dabo had, a press conference he was in, and he got bombarded with questions about what's going on up the road. And is he considering taking that Charlotte job?
Yeah.
He was, and again, he asked for it. Of course, he downplayed it, and, you know, he's focused on this. But it got me thinking about the conversation you and I have had for years. Now, not just because he's turned down Charlotte.
Not just that job. They're whispering his name outside for Texas to put him back together with Deshaun Watson. Remember what they did this week.
Yep.
They finally did what you've been wanting them to do. You've been ill at that coach out there for the longest out there with the Texans.
And so, please. Yeah. Oh, that's right. I told you. That was the only lights. This is what happened when Eddie died. All the good stuff just kind of got washed away. Didn't I leave the show last week talking about I wanted them to lose. I wanted that dude out of there. And apparently I was in a long line of folks, and I didn't know that J.J. Watt was at the head of that line.
Yeah, man. He's leading the conga line. So you get this dude out of here.
He had to go.
But they're saying, what about Dabo for that job? So, you know, he'll be working again with one of his.
Yeah, but that's got a shelf life. The thing that made me think of you was that with every year that passes, with every conversation talking about he, obviously the king of the ACC, he is to college football in that conference, was what Coach K is to college basketball. And then why would he pick up and go back to his alma mater? And that was a conversation that you and I fought about. And you really, do you still believe that when Saban calls it quits, when Dabo's contract is over with, now before you said it was definite. Then you kind of went off that and said, well, he'll take the meeting.
He will get a phone call. Yeah. He will have to at least go and talk with them. And if they bring a big enough Brinks truck, and I say that because just what we talked about with Ray, we just talked about how all of his assistants don't beat him. You know, this is the guy who beats him. I mean, he's never a Saban assistant now, but I mean, this is the guy who beats him. He outsmarts him, you know, at his game, and he can beat him. That's if Alabama wants to stay out front, because you figure once Saban steps down, then his assistants are going to take over the conference potentially. So, I mean, to me, that's the thing, unless you can get one of them to leave another school in the conference to come to Alabama. But here's an Alabama alum. So they're going to have to take their shot at him, regardless of how long he's been up there and how much longer Saban goes. Because, you know, until one of his assistants show that they can beat him. I mean, it happens. And that's the amazing thing about him. You know, and he gets ready to face another assistant later today. You mentioned Ole Miss. That's a 7:30 game as well. That's going to be going on at the same time on ESPN. And that could be real carnage in Oxford, Mississippi today. We'll see. I think Alabama's favored by like 25 points or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's another former assistant that it's not going to beat him once again today. So we'll see next week. That's the test. There are people who believe that next Saturday could be the time that we see Saban assistant beat him, and that will of course be the game with Georgia next
week. I'm saying to you is that there is no way he should even take the call. He should even consider going and make his stand in the ACC and that program, because what happens when Saban leaves, if he doesn't take that job is not going to be as attractive as it was when he was there. And who's to say that this conference won't be at the top of the food chain either, like others? It happens, man. In our lifetime, all five of these power conferences or those regions of the country have been the dominant area. We've had it where the Big Ten has been. We've had it where the Pac-12 is. They've had top schools out there. Big 12, going back to the Switzer and Nebraska days. What was that dude's name? Nebraska?
Osborne.
Those days. So it's secular. So who's to say that him coming over? What are you trying to maintain the strength of the SEC? Or are you trying to build something that's your own program? There's no way I would go and step into them shoes. It was bad enough that Saban went in and stepped in to Bear Bryant's shoes. And
into Bear Bryant. Bear Bryant had been long removed.
But I'm saying in other words, he went in and won as much, not more, and created his own. There's nothing that Dabo can do
There were some guys in between. There were some guys in between Bryant and the folks in Alabama were kind of like, they kind of don't want to mention those guys that were in between Bryant. They like to pretend that it was straight from Bryant to Saban, but it wasn't. That's what's happening. Some other games we're watching for.
Florida State, Notre Dame.
Yeah, that could talk about carnage. That's bad. The Texas A&M Florida game could be an interesting game. I think that could be a curious one. The Texas A&M is coming off the loss to Alabama, and we know what the beating from Alabama sometimes can demoralize teams. We'll see how they bounce back. They're playing at home against Florida, and people are wanting to see if Florida continue some momentum going, so we watch for that one. Auburn and Arkansas, too, is another one. Which Arkansas team would show up? There's some people that think that Arkansas can go down to Auburn and win this game. They saw some things wrong with Auburn from that loss last week against Georgia. Their offense, Bo Nix, he couldn't get anything going at all.
No.
And we'll see if he has another game like that today. Arkansas could go down to Auburn and take away a victory. Outside of the conference, Texas and Oklahoma. A lot of people watching this game because it seems like Tom Herman is maybe starting to wear out his welcome out of Texas. The people thought that Texas was back when they beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, and they haven't been that kind of back. You know what I mean? And so people are wondering, is this guy going to be the real thing or whatnot? They're playing, of course, at the Cotton Bowl Stadium in Dallas, and Oklahoma goes into that one a little bit of a favorite. So we watch to see what happens with that game today. Those are some of the games that we're watching around the conference. Virginia Tech, by the way, is an interesting game. Virginia
I was just going to bring that one up for you. That's a noon kickoff.
Interesting game because Virginia Tech has played shorthanded so much this year. They've had so many players that didn't suit up and didn't travel because of positive tests. And, we'll see how many they show up with today at Chapel Hill and, see what Mac Brown's team can do. So it's an interesting game. Both teams are undefeated. Both teams are nationally ranked. Let's see who gets off the bus for the guys from Virginia.
Poor ACC, man. They just get no love past Clemson. This guy's turned around North Carolina and is sitting at number 8 right now. But who's to say that conference won't make some noise moving forward? Hey, speaking of North Carolina, speaking of anniversaries on this date,
yep.
Giants retired number 56.
Ah.
Lawrence Taylor's number got retired on this day in 94, speaking of North Carolina. We are going to step aside and turn things over to college football game time. I want to make sure I get the lineup right. We got John Fricke, Randy McMichael, and John Chuckery. They're going to join us next, taking you into a full day of college football. Mr. Crenshaw, you and I will be back tomorrow morning from 6 a.m. until 9, talking NFL, recapping some of the games from today, but getting us ready for an NFL Sunday, and talking more Braves, talking more NBA playoffs. Jahi Whitehead, listen, we miss you, man. I don't know when you're going to be back with us, but thanks for the input today in the HBCU update.
Always great, great being with you guys.
All right, thank you,
great
man.
Great work, great work.
Appreciate all the Van Halen songs. And Mr. Crenshaw, you have yourself a great day.
You have a good one. Stay dry, man.
All right, stick around. Coming up next, college football game time. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and check us out on the radio.com app.
Tennessee. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.